Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. We're back on a very important subject, that is lithium ion battery safety. We have Kelly Ransdale, director of public education of the National Fire Protection Association. Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you for the opportunity. Always glad to join you.
We enjoyed the first program. You talked about Christmas holiday safety, and we decided we should talk again.
Well, I love that. And there's so many cool things that we can educate your listeners about to make a difference. But thank you for including us in this important time of year.
Absolutely. In fact, we're also looking forward for our listeners that we have another appointment, and that is Sparky's birthday.
Yes, he's going to be celebrating 75 years. So that little fire safety fella is going to have his 75th birthday in March. And so we're looking forward to a whole year of celebrations for him.
He's kind of in the class with Smokey the Bear. Smokey the Bear is just a little bit older, maybe like a cousin of some sort, if we were to use that analogy.
And yeah, we love to say Smokey is safety in the forest and we're safety in the home. So we definitely do that work together.
Absolutely. Let's invite the Lord into our conversation. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. You've given us fire. You've given us, the technology. You've given us wisdom, ability to take chemicals and different products and to improve and to sustain life. Lord, help us to be safe with these things. Help us to know when to use them and when not to use them. Give us wisdom. Help us to be responsible as good stewards of the earth. And I want to thank you for Kelly and her organization that have been safeguarding and disseminating information to help us live more safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, Kelly, the term lithium ion batteries, we've had batteries for a long, long time. Do you mind kind of giving a little history of storage battery? You know, electricity came along and we were quite dependent on that. And then we got the little D-size batteries and C-size batteries and so on and so forth. And some of the makeup of those batteries have extended their lives and rechargeability and a few things like that. So kind of bring us up to date.
Yeah, sure will. So as we kind of get into the holiday season, always Black Friday, I go shopping. And batteries are one of the things that are on sale during this time of year. And we're traditionally buying AAAs, AAs, but now we have this new technology that's called lithium ion batteries. And the best way to understand that is pretty much anything that's rechargeable has this kind of battery in it. There's all different types of them that have different metals in them, but anything rechargeable would be considered a lithium ion battery. And with any new technology, there are some things we have to learn about it. And so one of the things within the fire service that we've noticed is that there have been tons of fires because all of us have so many rechargeable things. And yet most people don't understand that they have to be treated very differently, and you have to learn how to use them safely, how to buy them safely, and then when they quit working, how to properly recycle them, because there is special recycling. And so anything rechargeable would be considered lithium ion batteries. And the cool thing is that this technology came out of the original cell phone technology. Many people remember we had landlines, then we had bag phones, and then we had these little things that looked like a brick. And now our cell phones and other items are so much more portable, and that's because of this technology called lithium ion batteries. And they've progressed exponentially since the 1990s. And so with this technology, they do have a fiery side. And that's why we have to educate the public. And this year's Fire Prevention Week was on this very topic, but it was the start of a whole year of making sure that everybody realizes how to buy these products safely, how to charge them, and then how to recycle them. So I'm excited to tell you more about each one of those.
Absolutely. And you touched on the subject. There are probably lithium batteries in things that we are not even thinking about.
Absolutely. So think about your cell phone. Think about your laptops. You can also, what about your power tools? Many of us have a universal battery that works all of your power tools. How about your vacuum? How about your toothbrush or your razor? All of those are rechargeable, and those do have those lithium-ion batteries in it, all the way up to power equipment. So some people have lawnmowers, golf carts, and then as we get exponentially bigger, we have electric vehicles. All of those are that lithium-ion battery technology.
Absolutely, and don't forget our robotic vacuum.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about buying them. You know, they're everywhere. You can, especially you mentioned on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, that seemed to be almost a selling point, the convenience of rechargeable batteries. We just assume that's the way a product should be these days.
Absolutely. Well, there is a safe way to buy products that have lithium ion batteries. And this is going to be one of those sad moments that, unfortunately, cheaper is not better when it comes to products that have lithium ion batteries. And with online buying, it has really amplified this. So imagine that as you're going through, you know, if you're doing in-person shopping, you can actually pick up a product and look at it. And if we want people to buy listed products, and what that means is they will have a little safety mark on them that says they have met safety standards. So an example of that would be UL or ETL. If you're in Canada, it would be CSA. But you're going to look and see, does it have a safety mark on it? It will be on the product, and it will also be on the box. And it's a little challenging because if you're buying online, you really have to look for this because, unfortunately, there are many products that are imported into the United States that do not meet product safety standards. And what that means is you can't guarantee that it will perform properly. So with these batteries, they have lithium salts in it. And they have this little tiny, it's about 1/24 of a hair. So imagine this little tiny sliver of a separator in the middle of these batteries. And that little separator is kind of like a referee. It keeps the positive and the negative ions from being on the naughty list since it's right here at the holiday season. And so as long as that separator is in place, it is kind of keeping the battery in a stable state. If you were to drop that battery, if you were to have it in really, really cold or really, really hot places, any kind of, if you were to expose it to water, if you were to have all kinds of damage to it, it can actually damage that separator, and that causes it to overheat and go into what we call thermal runaway. And the best way I can describe thermal runaway is an explosion of that battery. And that's what's so scary about them is these little tiny batteries have a lot of fire when they go into thermal runaway and they explode. So imagine where you have these products sitting. If there's anything flammable around it, when they explode, they can ignite that. And that is what we've had total losses of people just charging their batteries in the garage, and they set their garage on fire and it burns down their whole house. In their den here in North Carolina, we had a little dog that went and grabbed his dad's power bank while they were gone, and his camera inside his house captures that dog biting that battery, him it starting to get hot. He jumps back and it explodes in their den. And he runs up the steps, and thank goodness he actually survived, and also it didn't burn their house down because it was a wool rug. But those are just some of the ways that when you buy a product, you want to make sure that it has that safety mark on it because it's super important to the quality standards of that product.
A question came to mind. I realize that I have a headset, you know, a hands-free headset. It's got, of course, a rechargeable battery. It's a very small battery. Is that too small to matter?
No, none of them are too small to matter. And that's what I would tell you is, one, when you buy them, if they've been listed, that's one way to protect it. But how you use that battery is going to be, and how you charge it is going to be important. So one of the things with charging is these batteries are designed to be charged, and then when they are fully charged, to take them off the charger. Now, chargers do matter, and that is the charger that came with that device or that's been certified to use with that device are the only ones you should use. And that is a key takeaway, is don't use off-brand chargers. So if you lose your charger, instead of going on online and buying the cheapest one or going to a convenience store and buying one, you've got to do your homework and find a charger that is designed for that device. Because if you don't use the right charger, it can damage it because it can overcharge it. So always fully charge it and take it off. Don't leave it on a charger. That's one of the tips. Also, using the charger that came with it or buying one that's certified for it. And then always charging on a hard surface. That is, I never leave anything that's rechargeable on the charger unless I'm supervising it. And that is because I'm having it on a desk or a table, never under your pillow, in the bed with you, never on carpet or on your living room furniture. You always want to charge on a hard surface, because it gives it some room to breathe, because they naturally generate heat as they're charging. So always supervising that, because it's not worth the risk of having a fire from it.
Now, you earlier talked about temperature extremes. I was working just before the holiday out in my pole barn with my, you know, lithium-ion tools. What a wonderful convenience. And then we ran off the holiday. I just looked last night and or this morning and realized I had left my tools out there in the cold. How cold can they tolerate?
Well, I always joke, Tom, and I say it's kind of like, how many licks to the inside of a Tootsie Roll, how many drops, or how many temperature extremes before it goes into thermal runaway? I don't have a matrix for that, but I can tell you that anytime you have these batteries, they need to be put in a temperature-controlled environment, because we know that temperature extremes can cause it to malfunction. So you definitely want to make sure that you have it in an insulated environment, whether that's a box that's insulated to keep it warm and keep it from getting too hot or cold. But we do have to use these differently. So with that convenience comes great responsibility, which is, I have a friend that lives in North Dakota. She lives, that place is so crazy cold. And she was going to buy a golf cart, and her little shed at the lake is not insulated, and her husband had a whole conversation on what kind of golf cart to buy, and it came down to, could they have the golf cart temperature controlled? And the answer was no. And so they made a conscious decision that if they didn't have a proper way to keep those batteries from getting extremely cold, which makes them brittle and fragile, that wasn't the right choice for their lake house. And that's really a good example of how we all have to assess where you live. Unfortunately, when you had the snowstorms, like there's snowstorms all over, people that had electric cars, they were having trouble keeping them charged because it was so cold and the batteries wouldn't hold a charge. And it goes the opposite way too. When it's really, really hot, it puts them in a stressed state.
Here's a question. Is there any warning signals that your battery might be of danger, or is there something wrong?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things to think about. One is, if you have, and this is an example I use a lot of times, if you were to buy an off-brand charger and charge it and plug it in, you would notice that either the device or the cord is going to get hot. That should be a warning sign to you that something is wrong. They should not be getting really hot, either the charging cable or the device. And so if it gets really, really hot, if you see that the battery is changing shape, if it is changing color, if it has a sweet electrical smell, all of those should be signs to you that there is a problem, and you want to make sure that you take that item and put it away from anything that can burn, because it can go into thermal runaway. And these things can happen when it's just off the charger and sitting in a stagnant state. And that's why it's so important we get this message out, that you have to be super vigilant about paying attention to these batteries. They're super convenient, but with that convenience comes extra responsibility for their usage.
What about storage? We talked about not in extremes, but is there a safer place in your house to store them than other places?
Yeah, so we want to make sure that you don't have them near any of your exits. So that seems a little funny, but people have e-bikes and e-scooters. You want to make sure you're not charging them in your doorways, if you're in a small apartment, if you're in your bedroom. You do not want to be charging those in those places, because that's a even bigger battery than we're talking about with other electronics. So you want to make sure that you're always charging on a hard surface, that you're not putting them anywhere that's blocking an exit, and that you're always supervising them when you're charging. And that way, also, you know, you can keep an eye on any time what these batteries are doing. And it's kind of a little bit of a downer in some ways, because we thought, oh, we have this cool technology. And it is a great technology, but you have to use it properly. And that's why this message is so important for people to be aware of when they make choices in what they're buying. So these tips we know can help prevent fires from these really cool new devices.
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking about the storage, not even on charging, but a very convenient place for my rechargeable batteries is underneath the stairwell that goes upstairs. It also goes downstairs. It just got to thinking, if it's just sitting there, not being charged, but that's also my stairway to exit the house. Is that unnecessary danger and I need to reconsider?
Yeah, I wouldn't want you doing that. I mean, I have enjoyed our interviews, and in good faith, I have to say, please don't put it near your stairwell, because if you and your beloved family was upstairs and one of those batteries, like imagine if you've used them for different things and they're at the end of their life and something were to happen, you may not be able to escape your home. So I would find a place that was, one, you can monitor it when charging, but also store them away from any of those primary exits. Because, you know, I hope it never happens, but we want to make sure that we do layers of protection.
Absolutely. Now that the preferred place, and maybe other listeners are asking this question, if I can't put it by the doorway, I can't put it out in the unheated garage, we do have a basement. Could it be put in the basement, which is above freezing?
Yeah, you know, as long as it's someplace that you're going to be able to check in on it and make sure, you know, the vitality of it, you know, you could do that, but it's going to be assessing your risk and seeing, you know, are there other flammable things down there? Because if so, that may not be a great location for them. And that's why this is such a hard topic. You know, people just thought you could buy these, no big deal. But what we're finding is there are hazards that come with them, and it's just because of regular use. So you'll have to assess all the things and make the best decision for you and your family. And that is, like I said, my friend, she ended up not purchasing one because she didn't have a place that she could store them safely. So I do think that it is a conversation that buying listed products will reduce that risk. Never charging them unattended certainly will. And then if they're having any signs of any problems with them, it's super important that you quit using them and quit charging them. Because at that point, we want you to be aware of it, and then take them and turn them in places that can recycle them. And you can find those locations by going to calltorecycle.org, calltorecycle.org. And you can go to that website and put in your zip code, and it'll tell you everywhere in your community that you can turn these batteries back in. So just like we do with big auto batteries or with oil and things like that, these batteries have special recycling. And when you turn them back in, they take the minerals that are in it and put it to other uses. And so we don't want you throwing these in regular trash because it can cause a fire. We've had trash trucks that when people throw these in their regular trash, the trash will compact it down. And we have trash trucks that go on fire. Mm. We have landfills that go on fire because of these batteries. And we even have, if you throw it in your regular recycling bin, which we don't want you to do, it can cause a fire. So we need people to take extra care and turn these batteries in. And many of those locations are going to be your big box stores. So many of, like, Ace Hardware, Lowe's, Home Depot, your home hazardous waste facility, they will take these batteries and they can properly recycle them. So it's super important to skip the bin and turn your batteries in.
Absolutely. Now, you've given us so much information, and I'm sure that our listeners will want to refer back to it. You have a great amount of resources on your website. Could you refer our listeners to that at this time?
Absolutely. If you go to FPW, so Fire Prevention Week, FPW.org, O-R-G, when you go to that site, it has a video that tells you about this. It will have the messaging that goes along with it. We have some coloring sheets for kids. We have some adult coloring sheets. But it has all kinds of information to help you be able to live with these batteries safely and prevent fires just by going to fpw.org.
Now, if a fire does start, how do you respond?
Yeah, so we don't want people, we want you to have working smoke alarms, and that is with these devices in your home, make sure you have working smoke alarms. That's the number one thing, because they will give you early warning if you have a fire. Secondly, we want you to practice your home escape plan with everybody that's part of your family. That includes your pets. Have them part of your escape plan. And you practice that twice a year, once during the day and once at night, and have a meeting place outside that everybody knows where to go. And then if one of these devices were to start a fire and catch fire, we want you to get out and call 911. The fire department does not want you fighting fire when no belongings are worth your life. And so making sure that if you have an issue, if it's a small little device and you can put it in water, you can put it in water, you can put it in a sink, a tub, put water on it, in a bucket, the toilet, and you can call 911 if it's a little tiny device. But when in question, we want you to get out and leave it to the professionals to come and help. Every firefighter across this country would tell you that. Our job is to make sure that when you need us, we'll be there. And so making sure that you make good decisions for your family and get out when in doubt.
Absolutely. Kelly, you've done a wonderful job of opening our eyes to one of these concerns that we all have in our household. Is there anything else that's on the radar that might be beyond the lithium ion issue that's the trending in your industry?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, one of the things I really want to remind people is you shared with me that you and your family went away for the holiday. And many times people will either stay in a hotel, a motel, or they may use what we call peer-to-peer hospitality. That would be something that's rented by an individual or a company. And we want to remind you to always travel with a carbon monoxide alarm. Carbon monoxide is the invisible killer. That is, you can't taste it, see it, smell it. But carbon monoxide can come from a generator that's too close to a home. It can come from any fossil fuel burning appliances. It's the cold part of the year. And so we want you to consider buying a carbon monoxide alarm, which you can buy at any retailer. same advice as what we just gave you. Buy a listed product. That is, it will have UL or ETL or CSA on it. That means it's met safety standards. And you can travel with that alarm. I travel with one everywhere I go. It's on my backpack. I take it in my hotel room. I take it to meetings. But carbon monoxide is the same composition as air. And so you can actually carry on one of these little CO alarms. And when you get to your destination, sit it out on your nightstand. Sit it in the middle of the place that you're staying. And if you each have one, put each one in your bedroom. And just have it out there so that in the event that there is carbon monoxide, it will give you a warning. Because people will go to sleep and they will never wake up. Because this is very similar. If you have a lot of people that are staying together and everybody is feeling sick, it should be a red flag to you. Don't assume food poisoning. Actually, err on the side of caution and get out and call 911 because it could be carbon monoxide poisoning, which mimics food poisoning. You can feel nauseous. You can throw up. Everybody can feel bad. And if there's multiple people that are getting sick at the same time, just consider that it could be carbon monoxide. And we want you to be aware of this hazard because, unfortunately, at this time of year when families are together, there have been so many tragedies that we want to prevent that from happening to any family.
Kelly, thank you so much for being a part of our program. Would you, again, give us these resources that comes from the National Fire Protection Association, who has been on guard for a very, very long time, saving lives?
Absolutely. You can go to our regular website, which is nfpa.org. And when you go there, you can put in a topic in the top search, and it'll bring up all of our free resources. For kids, you can go to sparky.org, and that is a safe site that they can get free content. And then related to lithium-ion batteries, you can go to fpw.org, and then you can also Google the National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association. That is the association that we work with to raise awareness about carbon monoxide and educate you and your family. And yeah. So thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this.
Thank you, Kelly. And we're looking forward to our next interview with Sparky.
That'll be great. Thank you so much.
God bless.
Same to you.
For Strong Tower Radio, I'm Tom Mazur. Until next time, bye now.